I don't play. I do not play.
Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, we have Brandon C. Price riding sidecar with Eric Rosentreter, the brand ambassador for Redemption Whiskey, bringing in some cocktails and talking the Kentucky Derby. We've also got Cody Baker from Bad Axe Throwing, the cast from the Chicago group The Neo-Futurists, Dr. Dingman at 105. And don't forget to get your calls in for Tell Me Something Good at the end of the show. And now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in Chicago, Illinois, here's your host, Patty Vasquez.
You are listening Pretty Late. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, the mastermind, one of the geniuses behind Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show over there at the MCL on Halsted near, not Halsted, is it? No, it's off of Belmont, and it's on Sheffield. How are you doing tonight?
I'm absolutely fabulous. How are you?
I'm very well. Our good friend Elliot just was your guest bartender.
He was.
Your celebrity.
That was, I actually, we had trouble getting seats in the back in my usual spot because there were so many people there. So it was really fun and people were throwing money at Elliot. I thought he did incredibly well.
I know. He set the bar a little bit high for me because really I was told I didn't have to sing and Elliot sang and stuff.
Well, I think it's very open. What is your comfort level? You know, what do you want to do? But I think that Elliot's behavior was trying to encourage raising money for his charity. So I guess maybe what I'm saying is if you care about your charity.
We'll see what happens. How much do you really love the children, Patty? How much do you love the children? It was a great show. It's so much fun. And I had bought some raffle tickets and proceeded to win one once and then twice. And like all of a sudden, like Keenan was like he wouldn't let me have the second prize because I'd already won one. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I put money in the thing.
And I come to this radio station to get away from my problems with my company.
Well, oh, you know, it makes sense though. But it was fine. It was
flair.
It was a lot of fun, and I look forward to doing it on June 16th or 17th. I believe
17th,
it's
right?
The 17th. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the same weekend as the Women's Comedy Festival at Stage 773.
You'll be busy that weekend.
I am. I have a new show called Sometimes Mommy Swears. So that's the new show that I'm working on. Yeah.
All stand up sketch,
both, a little bit of both.
Storytelling.
Yeah, just getting up there and you know, I realized today I really do have to prevent myself from misbehaving in public. So there'll be some of the stories that I tell. But I was going to pick up Griffin at school today, and this has happened before. We're in the parking lot near the building. There are several handicap spots that are designated for special needs families, and I understand that when the parking lot is full and there are other available handicap spots, people might think, well, they don't need them. There's already those spots over there. That doesn't mean that you pull up and sit in those spots. I guess they're thinking, Esmeralda, that if someone really does need it, they sit in the car. There was a dad watching his son play baseball. There was a baseball practice going on. And so he's watching his son from the handicap spot. And I really wanted to go knock on the window and say,
are you like trying to find a handicap spot and this man's in your way, or are you just observing?
Well, because I've been there before when I have needed a spot they've been taken.
So your focus is on this.
Yes. Had I needed a spot, because I've done it before where I've walked by with Declan in the wheelchair and started taking pictures of license plates and then posting those on Facebook. But since I was not in need of the spot, I didn't say anything or do anything, but I was really tempted.
Isn't the rule, though, if you're in the car, your car can be anywhere?
No.
Like, if I'm parked on the street, like, in downtown, but, you know, I got my flashes
double parked.
On
and let's
I'm
say
in
you're
there.
Let's say you're double parked.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so what you're asking, 312-981-7200. I know that we have a lot of law enforcement that do listen to the show. So let me know, 312-981-7200. If you are in your car, can you park in a parking spot if you remain in the car?
Did he see you?
Did he see me? Yeah, he saw me like look up and like I looked at his rearview mirror to see if there was a placard there. He did not have handicap plates either. So they're designated. It's the same thing. Like, so what you're saying is that you can park in front of a fire hydrant as long as you're in the car.
I guess because if you're in the car, then you can react to the need of that situation. Mm-hmm. So if a fire truck pulls up, if I'm in the car, I don't feel Like, I've done anything wrong because I can just get out of the fire truck's way.
312-981-7200. I'm pretty sure the fire department's...
Or at least you can request it. You know what I mean? If you ask
the fire department loves to request that you get your ass out of the way. They really enjoy doing that.
What if I'm picking someone up or waiting on someone?
No, they definitely love when they roll up and there's someone who like wants to be requested to move. That's definitely what the fire department's looking for.
Ask nicely. And I'll just park on the other side of the street to walk. I love when people pull up on the fire hydrant corner and then like walk right into Starbucks with their flashers on.
Oh.
See, now you've left the car. Now you've broken the law.
Oh, absolutely.
I could just be very slowly moving forward. You know, until I'm out of the car. Now you know I'm not.
What, officer? The car was still engaged.
Driving.
Yes. I'm not double parked. I'm rolling very slowly with my hazards flashing. 312-981-7200. I believe we need a ruling, an official ruling as to whether or not it's okay to park wherever the hell you want to as long as you are in the car. Because that's what you're saying. Handicap spot and fire hydrant. So the two major...
I guess maybe I'll edit my sentence then.
Yes.
I don't believe you can be faulted if you're in the car and have yet to be like asked or prompted, or you see a fire truck and you should leave. If you were like, excuse me, sir, handicapped people need this spot, would you please move? And he was like, screw you, lady, I'm very comfortable. Now, yes, this is a bad person and we should, and so, you know.
Hold on a second. I think Jim's going to help us out right away. Hey, Jim, what is your ruling on this? Hey, what can you tell us? Yes.
Hey, Patty. A lot of people believe that just because I'm in a car, I'm not going to get a ticket or whatever. And that's absolutely false. First of all, the ticket writer or the law enforcement is going to ask you to move because we're human too. It's like, come on, move along. If you don't want to move along, then you're going to get a ticket.
Right.
A lot of people if you're boot eligible, which that's also the department I'm with, they think, I'm in a car. You can't boot me. And that's not really entirely true either. Nobody wants to get hurt while they're going to boot a car. But, you know, if you want to sit there and take up spaces that you're not entitled to, you know, you're going to pay the consequences, whether you're in the car or not.
So Jim, just to be clear, you, out of courtesy, would ask Brandon to please move his car, which is what he's saying. If he is requested, he will then move his car. He would not be belligerent and say, no, I'm not moving, at which point you would ticket him, right?
Absolutely. You'd be surprised how people are like, yeah, make me. Okay. I'm only going to be a minute. Amazing. It takes me less time than that to write a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to make it clear that I would most certainly not only appreciate you letting me know that I should move, but I would also then most certainly move.
Here's the important part, Jim. Even if he's in his car, is it illegal for him to park in front of a hydrant and a handicap spot?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's the part I'm going for there. Just so you know, Brandon. Just so you know.
I live on the edge.
Hey, Jim, will you hold on the line as our first call in for this topic? I'm going to give you a Lou Malnati's pizza for your troubles.
Woo-hoo!
And for all the hassle that you put up with as parking enforcement, because I know you do.
Oh, not a problem.
Thank you so much, sir. Have a great night. I think Christopher would like to chime in as well. Hey, Christopher, what do you want to tell us?
Hey, so... as a firefighter, we see lots of cars that like kind of park in front with their hazards on and stuff.
Yeah.
Like either way, if there's a house fire, we're just gonna break the windows out. So if you're there or not, we're just break the windows out.
They're not gonna ask, Brandon. What firefighter Christopher is saying, they're not gonna ask you to move.
Boot guy will ask. Firefighters will not ask.
Firefighters
will. You know what? They're in more of a hurry. I respect
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, why would you even wait to ask or be asked? I would see someone coming over and I'm like, oh no, I gotta go. Okay, bye.
Yeah, but in the city, you're not gonna see sirens and like assume like, well, those are coming right for me.
No.
You know?
Hey, Christopher, how often have you rolled up and had someone in their car sitting behind the wheel or in the passenger seat? Sometimes someone gets out of the car, they leave their kids in the car, and they figure they're not breaking the law either.
I live in a smaller town, so I've seen it twice.
Okay.
But, I mean, I have broken the window out of at least two cars. So,
okay.
I mean, if you park in front of the fire hydrant, I mean, it doesn't matter if your hazard is on or not. I think the second car was actually still running. So,
there you go.
I sat there and ran for the next 6 hours when we were being at the fire. So.
Yeah, that'll happen. Christopher, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Have a great night. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yep,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
And we also have Katie who wanted to join this one more before we go to the break. Hey, Katie, what do you want to say?
Oh my gosh, Patty, I can't believe you're being so nice to him. I am living, my heart is going to pound out of my chest.
Yes.
Seriously, you think you can park in a handicapped spot because you're sitting in the car, and then what? The handicapped person is supposed to maneuver their way around to get your attention in your car and say, hi, I'm sorry, I need the handicapped spot because I'm handicapped, or that they have to get out of their car, hobble over to where you are, and say, I'm sorry, could you move so I could have this handicapped spot? Are you serious?
There you go. There's Katie. That's how I felt. I wanted to go up to that window today. But here's the thing. My son is so used to me starting trouble in public. I was like, on this particular day, I'm not going to start trouble with this guy in the handicapped spot watching his son. Well, yeah.
I'm impressed with you. But the guy in there right now, I want to slap him upside the head and say, what are you thinking?
He's hearing from us. I think he hears the timbre in your voice. And what's behind it. And I think that Brandon is the kind of person that can grow from a moment like this.
Yes, Brandon, yes. Grow, because if I ever see you, I'm going to slap you upside the head.
There it is. All right.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks.
Katie, do this with me. Katie, do this with me. Take a deep breath.
Okay.
Thank you. And there it is. Oh, that felt good. I felt all your stress. Thank you, Katie. Have a great night. Be safe.
Take care.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Before we go to the line, I do want to make sure that Katie knows. Brandon asked me to. We talked about it off the air. To clarify, Brandon might dip into a spot while he's in the car, particularly maybe if there's a fire hydrant. Less likely, perhaps never, in a handicapped spot.
I would never park in a handicapped spot. I've had my grandmother's car,
which
has the tags.
And now you'll be angry when you see people do it. That's the next level.
The handicapped spot thing, that element. Element of this, yes. Okay. I couldn't agree more with everybody who would be mad at someone who disagreed.
Okay. But the fire hydrant, we're going to break you that habit. I know that sometimes you have to do it.
Standing in park, it doesn't matter.
Sometimes you are in a situation where it's absolutely necessary to dip into that spot. Your intention is not to stay there very long. And of course, you're not trying to be disrespectful.
Maybe you're getting out of other cars' ways while you're waiting.
There you go. Christina, how are you doing tonight?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to get an update. I'm sorry we weren't able to catch up last week. I know that you had shaved your head for pediatric cancer awareness and for raising money for research and cures, right?
Correct. For St. Baldrick's.
And how? Now I know that this week was a little bit of a dip. Now, are you able to shave your head this week with funds?
No, I wasn't able to because I didn't raise the $10 or better.
Okay.
This time, but if anybody is so inclined, they can go to my Facebook page at Once Upon a Time, and that's Once WANTZ Upon a Time.
Okay.
And I have the link pinned at the top there because it's a long link that, you know, reading it over there is going to be tedious. But I want to give major props to the barber who is helping me out with this. His name is Jim at the Hairsmith in the Meyer on Randall Road in Algonquin.
Okay.
And he's actually turns out he lives down the road from me, but he is completely awesome for that.
Wonderful.
And so if y'all are in the area, totally go see Jim at the Hairsmith.
Excellent. Now a couple of things. I also, so again, you're raising money for St. Baldrick's for pediatric cancer, and folks can go to your Facebook page in particular.
Yes.
So it's facebook.com/onceuponatime, and that's in WANTZ. And you are coming down to Springfield with me. I know that you had asked me. I have trouble getting on top of my messages sometimes, but you can absolutely, if I broadcast from the Capitol, because otherwise sometimes I broadcast from my room. So unfortunately you can't hang out there. It's just
right.
But I can always show you where the press room is, and I would be delighted to have you to introduce you to some of your legislators while you are there. I'm planning on taking the train. We're not doing an official WGN field trip. We weren't able to organize it in time before the end of the session. Hopefully we can get one done for the fall. But anybody who wants to go down, I will be going down next week. If anyone wants to go to Springfield and meet their legislators, and the week after, the week of the 22nd, I'm going pretty much to the end of session, which ends on May 31st. So folks can text us or email me at pattyhappens@gmail.com. That's P-A-T-T-I. Christina, are you going to take the Amtrak?
I'm going to drive. I've had a little trouble with riding on the trains.
Okay.
So I love the trains, but apparently my stomach doesn't.
Yeah, the motion sickness. I could see that.
Yeah. So, and while we're down there, I know my representative, let's see, is Steve Anderson, and then my state senator is Karen McConaughey, or vice versa. I have a little trouble with that one.
It is Representative Anderson, and actually, Representative Anderson will be on this show next Friday night, along with Representatives Ann Moeller and Representative Feigenholz, possibly Representative Batnick. So,
awesome. And I think Representative Anderson's been on your show before, hasn't he?
Yes, he's an excellent legislator. You have a wonderful individual representing your district.
And I actually voted for him. So I've been pretty pleased.
I think you should say that right to him when you meet him. I actually voted for you. I think he would get a kick out of that.
I think the background is, too, that he's not the party I would normally vote for.
He is. You know, it's interesting. I mean, there are people who think, oh, you know, that's somebody who you wouldn't get along with politically. The thing about when you meet with someone and talk to them, it is fascinating what brings them to their political beliefs. And Steve Anderson, by the way, did vote for the equal pay legislation last week. And he was the one that reached out to me about being on the show to discuss why. Representative Batnick, who voted against it, he comes to his political views in particular as a small business owner and trying to make sure this community has all the assets that they need, protecting property tax values, things like that. So so when you meet with them, it is interesting to find out how they arrive at their decision-making process.
It humanizes the face of
Absolutely.
An opinion.
Yep. So we want to check in with you soon and make sure that we get some of that funds. Make sure you get your numbers up for St. Baldrick's. Mm-hmm. Again, go to Christina Wants. Her Facebook page is
wantsuponatime.com. Or not .com, geez. That site's down right now with technical difficulties. But the page on Facebook, it's not / Once Upon a Time because for whatever reason I haven't been able to update it to. So just go into the search bar and type onceuponatime.com, and that's, again, WANTZ, because that's my maiden name.
It's true. Once you type in WANTZ upon, it will autofill for you, and you can see Once Upon a Time and go right
yep,
there.
Yep, and my bald head.
And her bald head, and you can support pediatric cancer research. Thank you so much, Christina. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too.
More after this on 720 WGN. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with friend of the show, sidecar, Brandon C. Price, the genius and mastermind behind Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at MCL over there on Sheffield near Belmont. You can go to, yes?
Yeah, I'm just very excited to officially announce something I've been teasing for a couple of weeks. The app is up and running.
The app is up and running.
You could go to our website if you wanted to do something that people did 10 years ago, or you could download our app. It's a loyalty program. You get free tickets. You see who's playing. You're kept up to date. There's a map that tells you where to go. It's
I love it.
Pretty amazing. So just Vamp Comedy. Just app search Vamp Comedy. We're on Google, Android, and the old iPhone.
It's a great show. It's so much fun. And you know, I think that when I bartend on June 17th, I think I might have to make mint juleps with some redemption bourbon.
Go on.
See how I turn to
our
guest that is joining us in the studio. We have brand ambassador for Redemption Whiskey. We have Eric Rosentreter.
Rosen.
Rosen. How am I spelling it? I was trying to spell it phonetically and I didn't do it either. Rosentreter.
Rosentreter, yes.
Rosentreter. Where are you from originally?
I was born and raised in the southwest suburbs. So
Mark it.
Hinsdale.
I got it.
LaGrange area.
Yes. We laugh because everybody comes in and tells us the general area. But thank you for saying Hinsdale, LaGrange area.
Yep. Pretty much as soon as I graduated high school, I left and came to Chicago. Been basically coming here since I was 14, playing old Fireside punk rock shows and all that. So
wait, you've been a musician since you were 14 playing in bands at Fireside?
Kind of. Basically,
you can say
like,
yes. There's the law. I believe you're fine now. It's been years, so they can't come after you now for playing underage.
It's,
the statute of limitations has lapsed.
It was more so like carrying an amp, and you can waive the $5 fee for getting into the show, like that sort of angle.
Oh, also that has lapsed. You're fine. Yep. They can't come after you for that. What? But are you in a band now?
Not currently. No.
Are you looking for a band? We've got bands that come in all the time. If you're looking for a band.
No, I'm more.
Can you and I start a band?
I'm trying to focus on more of like my painting a little bit as a side project.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I've got a co-op gallery opening at, can I shamelessly plug? Is that cool?
Yes,
not even, you can shamelessly,
do.
With shame, without shame, whatever way
awesome.
You want to do it.
I'm waiting on my
I've got a co-op gallery at the Bottom Lounge on June 8th. So I'm going to be participating in that. A bunch of local artists come out, support. I'll probably buy you a drink if you come and say hey.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Hey, say hey. I heard you on WGN Radio at the Bottom Lounge on June on June 8th. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
You might be buying quite a few drinks.
I love being surprised. That's why I love the industry so much.
So you have artwork. What sort of painting do you do? Acrylic?
I'm kind of all over the place. Yeah. I've done like a skate deck series. I actually built some furniture out of whiskey barrels a couple years ago.
Cool.
I did a gallery at Jazz Fest in New Orleans a few years prior to that. So I kind of just surrender myself to the whole process.
Well, we are thrilled to have you on. I know that it is Kentucky Derby season week, actually. We're leading up. Now, why is whiskey so tied in with the Kentucky Derby?
Kentucky.
That's a complicated answer.
More complicated than just Kentucky.
When you think of Kentucky, you think of bourbon. When you think of bourbon, you think of Kentucky.
It's true.
What a lot of people might be misconstrued is that bourbon doesn't have to be from Kentucky. Our bourbon that you guys are drinking right now with my mint julep is actually from Indiana. It's from Lawrenceburg, so it's right in between Cincinnati and Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right along the Ohio River and all of that. There it is. Hot take.
I was looking and I was like, oh, nice sound effect.
That's because I want to smell Indiana. I didn't realize that this was from Indiana. So
yep.
I want to say that smells fantastic.
You know, again, a lot of people think that bourbon is even going so far back as like it's from Bourbon County. There's actually no bourbon produced in Bourbon County anymore. It's a dry county. But when whiskey was produced there, it was way before it was as populous as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, it's been divided up a lot and blah, 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 and all those historical things of Kentucky being more populous. Bourbon can actually be made anywhere in the United States. So I've had bourbon from Alaska. I've had bourbon from Maine. I've had bourbon from Florida. It can be from anywhere.
Is there anything that distinguishes it? Regionally, is there anything that, like, if it's from Alaska or from Maine, that's different than Indiana?
No, you just have to fall into the legal parameters. It has to be, think of bourbon or think of whiskey, is it has to be made from grain. Mm-hmm. So it has to be over 51% corn, aged in new oak barrels or containers, and doesn't have that wood doesn't have to be American, but it usually is.
Okay.
Wow.
And distilled at no more than 165 proof, and I could get really Dungeons and Dragons about it, but let's talk about these cocktails that we've got right now.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
What did you want to...
I just had no clue. Like, I just thought, like, you know, they just kind of threw that title on some stuff as a product. Like, well, we're going to sell it. Let's call it bourbon. People buy bourbon. It's not Canadian, you know, but that's excellent. And if it leads to this cocktail, my friend, I'm on board.
Bourbon is one of the more federally regulated spirits in the world. A lot of that came from old rectifying techniques, things like that, people adding caramel coloring, flavoring agents, things like that. And for a while it was a really dishonest spirit because people liked it so much and they wanted to reproduce it, but they didn't respect the aging process and the proper processes that were involved in making bourbon. So basically started regulating itself late 1800s, early 1900s.
What bureaucracy is doing this? Like, is it the FDA? Is it, you know what I mean? Like, who's enforcing the, whoa, that's not oak, my friend.
The bigger whiskey companies?
The
honor code.
Ooh.
a lot of that came from basically how bourbon was made.
Okay.
And how it was shipped. I mean, bourbon itself was, before it was actually even called bourbon, was just a byproduct of excess grain and things like that. When farmers had excess grain at the end of the harvest season, they would distill their remaining grain and use that as currency. So they would ship it down the Ohio River typically. And by the time it got to New Orleans in these oak barrels, which was the storage vessel at the time.
Oh, wow.
It would have those wood sugars going on. It came out what went in as a white spirit, because all whiskey that comes off the still is white. And when it got to New Orleans, which back then was a big, long process, it took up to a couple of years. You have those wood sugars, the charcoal filters from, mm-hmm. you know, the fired barrels that were coming along. And when it got to New Orleans, people would order it, be like, I want that bourbon whiskey, whether they were ordering it on Bourbon Street or knowing that it came from Bourbon County at the time.
Oh,
they labeled it as, I want that bourbon whiskey, as opposed to whatever other whiskey was happening.
Well, there you go. Wow, this is the, I love.
That's so cool.
Is this something that you were fascinated by before you became the brand ambassador, or are these the sort of things that you've developed, you know, having this really world view of the whiskey and bourbon industry?
I kind of surrendered myself to being a student of whiskey. Mm-hmm. I'm not really specifically collegiately educated, but coming from my background, working at Delilah's there on the north side in Lincoln Park
nice.
For about 12 years. I don't have a degree, but I've got a doctorate in whiskey.
Nice.
And listening to people in my position over the years that come and would talk to me and do that, be like, I understood that this was an educational process and storytelling. A lot of it is really... whiskey in general tends to be romantic. There's stories that go into it.
Oh, no doubt about it. We'll talk about the mint and julep and how people can make these. And also you have more, I guess, he has a bar set up in the green room. Let's go take a look at that during the break. We are hanging out with Eric Rosentreter.
Rosentreter, yes.
I wrote it down and I thought that I would do it phonetically and it didn't work out that way.
You were confidently reading it and then you looked up to check in and then you lost it.
I lost it. Eric Rosentreter, he's the brand. See if I say it very quickly. You don't know that I get it wrong, which is why I do that. He's the Redemption Whiskey brand ambassador. We are talking about mint juleps and all things whiskey. 312-981-7200 if you want to join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Little break right here.
Hold up inside, and I'll get whiskey bent and hell bound.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, the mastermind genius behind Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at MCL over by there on Sheffield near Belmont.
Right there.
It's a great show, and it's at 10:30 Fridays and Saturday nights. And we're both all just all over our guest, Eric Rosentreter, who's the brand ambassador for the Redemption Whiskey. And we are very excited about this cocktail. I'm reading a little bit about this on your page about how you're supposed to hold the glass from the bottom or the top so that the frost stays on the outside of the cup.
Yes.
For the mint julep, by the way.
That is actually something that one of my counterparts in the market, Joe Riggs, who's a Louisville native, taught me is, I know this makes for really good radio, but I'm doing a visual right now.
You're on WGN radio streaming, so there are cameras watching you right now. And there are folks watching.
Kind of have your middle finger or ring finger on the bottom mm-hmm. and then your thumb on the top.
So you're making your own handle. Like if you had yes. a beer sign, you're making your own handle.
Yeah, and built in with that, you see a lot of people with Derby Day coming up. They wrap their beautiful silver cups in napkins.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is that really wasteful, but the silver or copper mugs, whatever you're using, that conducts heat really well. So the less contact you have on that glass, the more.
Huh.
I've never heard
also,
that.
Holding it like this, I feel like a little fancier.
And it makes you farther away from the microphone.
Oh, now I'm here.
You seem very fancy.
I leaned back in my fancy chair.
As you should. So the mint julep is the official drink of the Derby. And there's a little bit of history behind that. Apparently, did it replace another drink at the Derby?
No, it was officially adopted as the
in 1938. Oh, I see.
It was 37, 38. Mm-hmm. I want to say.
I'm reading your notes. I'm just.
I'm a little foggy on it.
That's okay. It's late at night. Dim the lights. So it confuses people when they come in. No worries.
It was 37, 38. But the julep came around actually the late 1700s.
Okay.
As kind of a medicinal cocktail.
Yes, I'm feeling much better already. I have to say, there's an extra spring in my step, and I haven't walked a single step since I started drinking it.
A lot of the purpose of the cocktail was born out of medicinal purposes, and that's basically righting the wrongs, whether it's medicinal or getting into something. You know, you have the hot toddies, things like that. They're mm-hmm. like, you have a cold, and you know, having family from the south side, be like, well, have a hot toddy. It'll right your wrongs.
Well, now, so with the, you mentioned to Brandon off the air that it's a really simple drink to make, that it's just sugar and mint and bourbon, but it's a simple syrup. It's not just sugar. And people don't always want to do, can you do it just with sugar and whiskey?
You can do it with sugar. I tend to use simple syrup just because it,
I can tell.
It tends to incorporate mm-hmm. a little bit easier, and I come from a speed bartending background, so if you have the granulated sugar, it takes a lot more time to incorporate that into the product itself. So it's basically the drink that we're having right now is 1/2 ounce of simple syrup that I made, 1-to-1 ratio by weight of non-bleached sugar and water, 2 ounces of bourbon, take a couple of mint leaves,
mm-hmm.
Spank them. And what happens is you start agitating those aromatic essences and the oils in those mint leaves, and you get it really, really fragrant. Mix it up, give it a little swish. How I do it is I fill the glass halfway up with crushed ice, and I always crush it by hand. That was the...
Yeah, we heard you banging in the green room. I actually have to run for a break, so we'll learn more about the Redemption Whiskey when we come back, and some other cocktails that our friend Eric has in store for us. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, writing Sidecar to Now, tonight, to now, to now, to right now.
I'm still doing it.
Till then. He is the mastermind behind Vamp, a music comedy and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at MCL over there on Sheffield near Belmont. Pretty much across the street from the Vic Theater.
It is.
Also joining us in the studio is Eric Rosentreter, who is the brand ambassador for Redemption Whiskey. We're talking a little bit about mint juleps, and now he's brought in another cocktail. Also joining us is Cody Baker, who we met last week at Bad Axe Throwing, taught us how to hurl some axes. And thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. I know that Elliot was very excited to learn some tips from you about maintaining his beard. You also have a beard, like, products?
Yeah, beard care line. It's called Daddy Beards.
Now, why is it called Daddy Beards?
Because when you use it, you're just a daddy.
And Mommy Beards is weird.
Yeah, Mommy Beards.
Mommy Beards is a little strange.
Although now I need to start that company.
Exactly.
Mommy Beards. I agree. Do you enjoy whiskey?
I do enjoy whiskey, yeah.
Then I'm so glad that you're sitting right next to our whiskey ambassador for Redemption Whiskey. Now, what have you brought in for us right now, Eric?
This is kind of a riff on the mint julep that I did before. Mm-hmm. So rather than simple syrup, I used Demerara syrup, which is a little more rich. I used our high rye bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit spicy, a little bit sweet, and fresh chocolate mint on top with a little bit of dark matter coffee sprinkled on top.
I was going to ask what this
is. So it's all about mm-hmm. aromatics, a little bit of black walnut bitters too. Super aromatic, really rich, a little more. We're hitting a cold spell in Chicago, strangely mm-hmm. enough, right now. So this is a little more deep. It's a little more comforting.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm comforted. I am all comforted. Now, what I probably wouldn't do is have one of these and then pick up an axe. But off the air, Cody, you and Brandon were talking, and it is BYOB at Bad Axe Throwing.
In Canada. So.
Oh, in Canada. Okay. Thank God. Because I was like, I don't see any Chicagoans picking up an axe while they've been drinking some of this Redemption whiskey.
What's the score? Hold on.
Pizza's one thing. I know that folks had brought their own pizza in.
You can bring your own food.
How long has Bad Axe Throwing been over there on Loomis?
Since September.
Okay, so you're at Loomis and Lake.
Loomis and Lake, yeah.
And what has been the reaction to having an axe throwing facility?
It's been awesome. We're busy constantly.
Yeah, I don't. It's once you do it, Brandon. I mean, Eric, have you ever thrown an axe? Have you ever hurled an axe at a wall?
Once. Yeah, it was not good.
You were angry.
It was really bad. It's kind of like my. It's kind of like my last name. It's a built-in sobriety test.
Is it really? Why did you throw an axe at the wall?
It wasn't at the wall. Like, we grew up with some property, so
okay,
you know, we're like chopping wood. I'm like, I'm gonna throw that at a tree and just like bong. Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Oh, well, I think you need to go to Bad Axe.
Or maybe beard oils. I'm not sure what's
happening. Yeah, no, I think like, so.
The woods, urban woodsman thing is really cool right now.
Do you feel what I would do to need beard products.
Can you grow a full beard? I'm seeing
you're
you
looking at it as much as it's going to happen, and that's just because I knew we were on radio. I have all the responsibilities of shaving daily and none of the benefits of one day looking like
either one of these gentlemen.
Yeah, anybody, yes. Everybody's bearded.
Mike also can grow a really
Mike's an unfairly
nice.
Good-looking person. Let's just be real about that.
That's up for debate.
You're Thank a very you, handsome man, and when you grow a beard, it does grow in very... It's yes, it looks very good. You can carry that well.
It's a very red beard, so...
It's red. Isn't mm-hmm. that strange?
Yard.
Yes.
How often... I mean, because my husband is the same way. He has, like, this sort of sandy, like, dishwater blonde hair, but his beard is red, which is very strange.
That is kind of strange.
Does yeah. it happen? You don't
Actually,
notice
mine
that?
Actually, mine comes in kind of
it's,
red.
It looks reddish around.
It's got a hair. Tinge of red.
But, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're also rocking the beard and like a handlebar mustache.
Yeah, I could flip it up.
Yeah.
Depends on my mood. Flip it down.
Oh, that's so cool. It's so expressive. Like, so many options to emote.
You're breaking Brandon's heart. Now, does yours grow in kind of patchy?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, I can kind of see where you have a little bit here.
Thank you.
You could do like a, you can see like a goatee. You could do a goatee.
Once every year and a half. And back, I think most men will agree. You sometimes in your life, you got to try. You know what I mean? You're like, Definitely. Well, I'm just gonna not shave for a little bit. Just see what happens. And even like in those moments, you're susceptible to not really objectively view yourself and how bad you look. You know, you're really trying to get there. Like, maybe next month that'll happen for me. Like, if I just look terrible for a whole month. And, you know, you talk yourself out of it and you come back down. It's like growing out your hair. You want to commit.
I feel the same way about my legs. I'm just kidding. Let the hair grow on my leg. It's very strange. It's I call it winter. But so with your beard maintenance products.
Yes.
What sort of individualizes them as opposed to other things that people use?
So my idea behind it was that most of the beard products out today are for like woodsmen and Vikings, and not everybody's a woodsman and a Viking. There's people that live in the city who mm-hmm. who've never been camping and don't associate with that stuff. And I want to represent them. Like, it's okay if you're a woodsman or a Viking. But I want to represent the people who never got there.
So how are they, I mean, as far as like what they contain, what kind of elements are involved?
So my beard oil is just essential oils and stuff like jojoba, which is really close to your natural skin oils.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet almond oil.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just, so it smells good.
So it smells good. Yeah.
I mean, because I we have a good friend of the show. He was a producer here for Pete McMurray's show, Scott Miller. Pete McMurray's producer has a, you know, he competes in all these like beard competitions.
What?
And, yeah. Oh yeah, he competes, like he does all kinds of styles with it and everything. And I've always wondered, I mean, it must be so much work to keep it clean though.
Yeah, definitely. And you're not supposed to clean it more than every 3 days, because just like the hair on your head,
mm-hmm.
When you clean it too much, the natural oils get disrupted, which is why you use beard oil.
Okay.
But yeah, you're only supposed to wash every few days. So there's a lot of in between, like water.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm tracking.
I don't think I live a life that's clean enough to only if I had. I mean, like, there'd be crumbs and like crusted beer foam. You know, like.
But you have to comb though.
Yeah, you have to comb all the time,
and that
time.
Takes care of the crumbs.
Well, you know, we'll see.
Eric, have you ever grown past the sort of long stubble stage?
Yes, I kind of call it the prairie fire.
Okay.
Where I
thought that was tequila and Tabasco sauce.
No, that's a whole different story involving toilet paper and the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to try to trim my beard and normally screw it up. So I kind of just take it down to like a level like one. on the Clippers and just be like, you know what? All right, I tried to be fashionable and it doesn't work. I don't make beer, so it doesn't work for me. Brewers have the best beards. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, what's the chicken and egg there? Do people with beards like to brew, or do brewers like to grow beards?
That's a very important question. I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. I'm reading the Redemption Bourbon bottle. I'm trying to. I'm just trying to get some more.
Don't be sorry for reading that label.
Why? I'm not sorry. I didn't mean to be distracted because it is. It has that sort of like old style look to it too. Like,
oh yeah, well branded for sure.
It is because it says right here that it's supposed to be the pre-prohibition whiskey revival.
Yep. We just went through a whole package redesign last fall, and we did the whole proprietary flask shape and. What we're really strict about is maintaining transparency on the brand, and having the mash bill and having the proof on it, which of course is legal, but like having a lot of truth behind the brand and not having more questions. There's there's some brands out there right now, and with the uprise and the upsurgence of American whiskey in general, it's very easy to be misled. And we try to go against that. Okay. That's how we launched a brand in 2010. And that's how we continue to right the ship.
And where can you find Redemption? Is this available? Like if I went to Walgreens, if I go to the grocery store, where can we find Redemption?
That would be, we just signed an agreement with Jewel.
Uh-huh.
So the Jewel's there on the south side. You can get the old Redemption, the bourbon there.
So you'd be at Jewel. How about Mariano's? Do you know?
Mariano's, I believe we still have an agreement with them. Whole Foods.
Okay.
We definitely are at Whole Foods. Binny's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Garfield's. All of that, like, I mean, we're kind of everywhere.
And where are you tipping one back? What are some of your favorite watering holes in Chicago?
My wife is the whiskey buyer at Fountainhead, so I'm extremely partial to that place.
Okay.
It's kind of an undiscovered neighborhood joint.
Like Damon and Montrose?
Yeah, exactly right.
That's a great place.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I think of it as kind of Delilah's for grown-ups.
That's fair.
I hope my old boss isn't listening. But you can listen to Fugazi softly wafting over the air at the Fountainhead.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great rooftop bar. I like going to Clark Street, Longman and Eagle for sure,
mm-hmm.
Sable downtown. If you haven't been to Franklin Room, go to the Franklin Room. Go see Peter Kim. There's a lot of really, really cool places to drink whiskey, and
that's awesome.
When you find a cool place to drink whiskey, ask those bartenders where they go to drink.
Right.
That's the key to the city.
I agree.
Throw off the .com aspects, throw off the Thrillist, the top tens, all that foolishness, and just get to know your city the way you should.
I agree.
Not to paraphrase Joe Strummer, but yeah.
I agree. Where do you hang out, Cody? Where are some of your watering holes?
I like Beauty Bar.
Oh, I've been wanting to go to Beauty Bar. Is that really a...
Beauty Bar's awesome.
Oh, can man. I really get a manicure and yep. get a cocktail?
They had Michael Jackson versus Prince night last time I went. That's all you need.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to stop there.
They have a really cool electro swing event once a month.
What's an electro swing?
Electro swing is like neo vintage. It's like old music that's paired with new music, like
that's
dance
fantastic.
Music. Yeah.
Okay.
They have emo and pop punk, all sorts of stuff. Indie night is this Saturday.
Yeah. You know the whole schedule.
Yeah, I'm there a lot. I'm within walking distance.
Now, are you from Chicago originally?
Yep, from Chicago, yeah.
What neighborhood?
I grew up at like North and Austin.
Okay.
And now I'm at like Chicago and Damon.
Where did you go to high school?
So we moved out to the suburbs when I was just before high school.
Uh-huh.
Out by like Lyle.
Okay.
And then I came back as soon as I could. Cause
you're like, get me back to Chicago.
It was pretty awful.
Get back to the city. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about Bad Axe Throwing and Daddy Beard products.
Awesome.
In just a moment, we're hanging out with Eric, our brand ambassador from Redemption Whiskey, Brandon C. Price from Vamp, the music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at 10:30, and Cody Baker, who taught me how to throw an axe, and we'll talk about what happened. More after this on 720 WGN. So you're you're saying, Cody, when I go to Beauty Bar once a month, this is the kind of music I'll hear.
Exactly.
Some vintage retro swing.
Yeah, it's
excellent.
So fun.
I love that. I had such a great time throwing axes at Bad Axe Throwing last week. We were there with the entire WGN radio crew. What got you involved with Bad Axe Throwing?
Honestly, I was just looking for extra side work.
Okay.
I'm a full-time photographer, and my 40 hours a week doing that wasn't enough.
So you do you, I mean, is this something you see on Craigslist?
It was Craigslist, yeah.
Was it really?
I literally just typed in sports.
Okay.
What do you want to work in? I don't know.
Sports. And have you been there since the beginning?
No, they opened in September, and I've been there for about 3 months.
And they have to teach you how to throw axes.
Yeah.
You did not come to that with that skill set.
No, I didn't.
Okay. So, and you're very good at teaching. I actually have the video. I should post the video of you teaching us how to do this.
Thank you.
When people come in, what should they expect?
Expect to have a good time.
Yes, I like that part.
It's a fun time.
And people were worried. They were very nervous about the safety aspect of it.
Yeah.
And it is partly personal responsibility. Stay behind the fence. You know, when people are throwing, there's a lot of that too. You have people sign a waiver that you're aware of the safety precautions and the danger involved with throwing axes. And one of my friends was worried about how when it bounces back. Can you throw it hard enough? Because it would bounce a little bit, but it didn't seem to ever have that sort of force to come back.
No, I've never seen it bounce all the way back because you're 14 feet back.
Right.
And it probably gets like 10. It'll go across the floor at your feet, but
yeah,
that's fine.
Yes.
I think physics says that's impossible as long as what it bounces off of doesn't include any force backwards.
Right.
Sure, like a pendulum.
Yeah, as long as it's not being flung back at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think that it's the noise. The noise is sort of intimidating.
It's alarming, yeah.
Yeah, when you hear bang.
Yeah.
I throw hard, not well.
You threw it really hard. You threw it super hard. You were like gunning it from the outfield every time.
Yeah.
It's like she played softball.
Yeah, because that was a problem. So I throw across my body and you have to keep a straight arm.
Straight
and that was
down.
The hardest thing to, and it's a different muscle set there.
Yeah.
And so when you have that, you know, when you're used to throwing a ball from center field, you're going to go across your body. And I was taking a step. I watched the video and I take that extra step.
She really put her hips into that axe.
Yeah. And then Brent Sopel, two axes in each hand, reaches back and just flings two out of each hand.
He's
four axes at the same time. That was ridiculous.
Incredible human being.
Have you seen that before?
No.
No.
I did see a video of this one person I think it was a Canadian woman, who in three axes in one hand.
Oh, gosh.
And just reared back.
Strong wrists.
Yeah, strong wrists.
I thought it was amazing. Aunt Andrea Darlis was remarkable at it. She was in the red shirt.
Yes.
Yeah, she was very good at it. Yeah, she's very good.
She was really, really nice. I loved her.
Yeah.
I loved everybody.
We had a blast.
Yeah.
And the other group, I'm sure we were very loud. It's a great place to go. Now, how many areas? Is it just the
it's
two?
Just those two, yeah.
Just those two.
Yeah.
What do you call those areas? The
I don't actually know.
There's no label for it?
No, we should have a label.
Like not arena or... I don't know.
Is it set up like bowling?
Zone?
Is it competitive? Are there different... or is it kind of like a firing range?
Actually, he walked us through some games. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like a firing range, sort of. There's two targets.
Okay.
Nothing separating you and the person next to you. Two people throw it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I count you guys down 3, 2, 1, then you throw.
Whatever you want. I take he says 3, 2, 1, and I wait for the person to throw first. Just so I see what I'm up against. I do.
Well, as a specifically competitive person, I guess my question is like, so Patty and I are throwing and she hits, you know, I mean, is it like a dartboard? Like, oh,
yes.
I was going
it's
for
like
20.
A dartboard. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 bullseye. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple small dots in the upper corners worth 10 points.
Okay. So it's almost kind of like skee ball in its design of the target.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Okay.
And he also sets up some games so that there's like elimination games, there are point games, there's team rounds, it was a
very
lot of fun.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I was doing okay. I mean, I was, you know what, it's funny, you mentioned bowling. I would say I throw axes the same way I bowl.
Inconsistently?
Yeah, wildly. I'll gutter ball and then I will hit three strikes in a row.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. We are hanging out with Cody Baker. He also has a beard maintenance line of products called Daddy Beard. Where can people find those?
www.daddybeards.com.
Daddybeards.com. We'll check in with Eric Rosentreter, our whiskey brand ambassador for Redemption, Brandon C. Price in the studio. We also have the neo-futurist in the green room. So much going on tonight. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, the mastermind genius behind Vamp, the music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at MCL Theater over there on Sheffield near Belmont.
Download our app.
Download the app. Go to vampchicago.com and find out more about the app. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's cyclical.
It is. It's all cyclical. We also have in studio with us the brand ambassador for Redemption Whiskey. Thank you so much for the wonderful cocktails you've been making for us tonight. We also have Cody Baker from Bad Axe Throwing and Daddy Beards. Go to daddybeards.com for the line of products that can help keep your beard looking luxurious. Esmeralda, you were hanging out with us throwing axes as well. And I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to leave you out of the conversation.
Oh, no.
Just jump in.
No,
you were great.
You were saying everything that I could have said.
Yeah, but you were great at throwing axes. You wouldn't say that you were great at throwing axes. I will say that for you.
Oh.
You were excellent.
Well, thank you.
Esmeralda, you were great.
Yeah,
thanks.
She was very good at it. I was intimidated. It was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, she had the braids going.
Well,
was,
you know,
yeah.
You're going to throw axes. You got to look like a lumberjack.
I'm saying, keep that hair out of your way.
Keep the theme going.
And you can throw axes as a lumberjack and then use beard oils that's for everybody else.
This is what
there
I'm
you
saying.
Go.
Did you, had you ever thrown an axe before, Esmeralda?
No, but I have done archery.
Oh.
So it kind of felt like the same kinds of things of you have to, your arms have to be in certain positions and you have to throw a certain way to get right. Because if your wrist moves a certain way or whatever, the arrow goes a certain way, so it's kind of the same thing.
Commit to the movement.
Yeah.
That's part of it. Because I found that mine just would not, it would, I mean, there's a point where I'm pretty sure I just threw it so it just hit, the back of the axe would hit the wall instead of the sharp side of it.
You'd still hurt someone.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, just the weight of the axe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No doubt about it. How bizarre was it to watch Brent Sopel throw four at that wall, though?
I don't even understand what was happening. He would just throw it like, yeah, whatever. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, it was no big deal. Like, I would take 5 minutes to throw one axe. He took two in each hand, and he was like, yeah, what? Boom.
Yeah, there's a picture of you in the main, you know, the focus, and just me in the background just really focusing with a double chin because I was really into it. So I don't know how Brett Sobel's just like, yeah, whatever, hey.
Here we go. Gonna get, yeah, I was, well, I didn't realize that my shirt was too short. I was showing my belly a lot.
That's okay.
On that.
That's okay.
I don't think that hurt your ability or lack thereof to throw an axe.
No, it didn't. It was annoying to see it in the photos. One of the things I have to worry about with my belly is enjoying wonderful cocktails like the ones that Eric has brought in the studio for us. Now tell us about this punch, because this is kind of fantastic.
It is 1 ounce of Redemption rye, 1 ounce of simple syrup, a quarter ounce of Angostura bitters, over ice, capped with whatever local Goza you have. So Goza beers are salty, they're sour, so that takes over the citrus aspects of the cocktail. And it keeps it balanced, and I love mass-producing cocktails.
Is this something, because this is not something I've ever seen on combination. Is this something that you have worked on? Because I know you've been in the bar industry for quite a while.
One of my favorite things about the bar industry is that there's no rules. Like, you can just make your own rules, and if you're charming enough about it, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I love involving local brewers. The beer that I have with this is Winer's Le Tub.
Mm-hmm.
So extremely local beer that is.
I love the idea of extremely local.
Yeah, like
you can
really
see
small,
it actually.
But so close.
If you're listening in Dallas or Austin or San Francisco, like get involved with your local beers and just be adventuresome about it. Cocktails have maybe come to take themselves too seriously, and there's no rules. Like, I don't come from a cocktail background, but I come from a creative background.
Right.
And get into that and rewrite the rules and involve people.
Well, that's what I love. When we met Cody at Bad Axe Throwing, and you started talking to us about the other professions, the other things that you pursue, including Daddy Beards and the line of products you have for men to maintain their luxurious beards.
Maintain.
Ooh, I like that. And photography as well. I mean, there are no rules. There, you know, we all kind of have to like find different avenues to one, make a living, but also express ourselves. So yeah, it seems totally. Like you're all finding that balance.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, you are too, Brandon. I mean, you have three jobs at least.
I'll raise delicious punch to that.
Hey.
Well, you have to say you have to sort of keep your, you know, keep your options open, but also and not be. I think that we get trapped in this idea of like that one thing we're supposed to be doing. Like, you know, I'm not far enough in my career, but there are a lot of different ways to go about. I guess cobbling it together sounds a little bit. Too,
I mean, isn't it
generic?
You know, it's like. Take tonight, for example. No one, I mean, this is your job, but for the three of us, no one here, this is not the culmination of everything we've wanted for our whole lives. The dream is to do this one thing, this one time, but this is a step on the journey. I'm having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
There's free whiskey. There's new friends, you know?
Exactly.
So it's the journey, not the destination,
there
right?
There are connections that are being made.
Redemption's now going to sponsor Vamp. It's going to be great.
And whiskey and a cookie on Friday nights. For Bad Axe Throwing, are you having mostly, are there, like, we had a business party, basically, an office party at Bad Axe. What other kind of parties are people having? Are there birthday parties?
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. Birthday parties, bachelorette, bachelors. That's pretty much it.
I kind of think you need to have a bachelorette and bachelor party in the same place. I think it would be fun, like if they have, you know, each room.
Like in
room.
Two separate rooms, yeah.
Yeah.
And then neither of those people ended up getting married. Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't awesome. Hold divorce parties and you'll be fine.
It is. It
Give
is
me a, the axe again.
Have you had any experience with what has made axe throwing popular in this country? Is it partly like that? Is it partly sort of the you know, the growing of beards and that lumberjack sort of look? Or fed this?
Man, that's a good question. I think it's just getting out all of your aggression from the week and then coming in there.
Well, but I can do that with like boxing. You know, I do it with CrossFit. Could. That's how I do.
But you're not allowed to do it in the normal world with an axe.
That's true.
Isn't that an element? That, like, that come in and hold a weapon they don't normally
that
get.
Yeah, that forbidden fruit. Yeah, totally.
I agree. Because people were asking me, like, some people were concerned about the safety of it. But I think that from what I saw, you know, as long as you are aware and you are responsible for yourself, you know, there's a fence. You stay behind that. You let people do their thing. But people were like, well, you may as well go to the gun range. Yeah, I've done that, too.
You could go to the gun range, but it's just that full body experience.
Yeah, you're not throwing
it's
yourself.
A workout.
You're not throwing yourself. Yeah, there is. It really, Esmeralda, didn't you feel like it was a workout?
I was very, very sore.
And you know, some people don't like guns, but this feeling is very cathartic for a lot of people. I mean, I know they sometimes sell getting to hit a car with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
Yeah. Cody's like, yes, I enjoy that very much.
Yeah, it's awesome.
There's something about that that's some guttural, like, instinctual thing. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I feel like...
Carnal.
I feel like this gets that for everybody, but also it isn't so extreme. As, you know, not everyone loves guns. I can't figure out why, but not everyone does, and so this gives that feeling to everybody. I think that's really cool.
It's wonderful. It was so much fun. How can people find out more information about Bad Axe Throwing?
Go to badaxethrowing.com. There's a calendar right on the homepage, and you can sign up there. Just make sure you're in Chicago.
Excellent. And I'm going to, you know what, can you message me? I want to go hang out at Beauty Bar with you sometime.
Oh,
totally. That'd be so awesome.
I'm so excited about that.
Too. And so is Eric.
I've never, and so Michael and Esmeralda will do another WGN party there. I need my nails done.
Yes, I'll be there on Saturday, so.
All right. I could do that, maybe. I enjoy that very much.
We should go out after the show on June 17th.
All right. How late do they open? They're not at 4 o'clock, are they?
Two, sometimes three.
All right, we'll see.
Three on Saturday.
All right, well, that's after the show. Thank you so much, Cody. What else? And for Daddy Beards, daddybeards.com.
Daddybeards.com, yes.
For the wonderful line of products that you have. We'd love to have you on the show again sometime.
I would love that.
Thank you so much
for having me.
And Eric, thank you so much for the wonderful cocktails. How do people find out more? Oh, we're doing, are we trying this thing? You guys are trying the, go in the green room and go try this proof. What is it?
I don't know, man. This, I think, like, if I drink it, I'm
barrel
off
proof?
Radio.
Is that what you called it?
I do have some of our barrel-proof whiskeys that we release every fall.
All right.
So more of our rare collectible spirits.
Well, the gentleman, this is like that moment in movies where like the gentlemen excuse themselves for like cocktails and a cigar, and the women like go in another room. I'm going to stay here. You guys go enjoy the bulletproof and the green room. I'm going to bring in the neo-futurists during the break. Thank you so much. I want to find out more about the bulletproof when you come back maybe at the 1 o'clock. But you tell them about that in the green room
after 1 o'clock.
After 1 o'clock, yeah.
Or, all right, cool.
We'll see. Yeah, 15 minutes. Yeah, you can hang out. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you, everybody. Good night, Brandon. Good night, Cody. More in just a moment. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me are the Neo Futurists. They have a spring forward with expanded programs and more performances this May and June. Right now, that's May, and June's coming up. I want to hear more about it. Who do I talk to first? There's so many people in the studio. Kurt, how are you doing tonight?
I am really good, Patty.
We've met, haven't we?
Yeah,
we have. Yes, like a while ago?
I think last year, 2016.
Yes. So yeah. It's been a bit.
Yeah.
How are things going at the Neo Futurists?
It's going really well. Currently, we have our new primetime show, The Unicorn Hour, in which Leah Erzendowski, ensemble member of the Neo Futurists, and Anthony Corser, artistic associate of the Neo Futurists,
hello,
have created that new show.
Hi, Leah. And hello. Wait, Leah and Anthony?
Yes.
Excellent. So tell me about the Unicorn Hour.
The Unicorn Hour is a show that is all about joy. Joy as a resistance, joy as a choice, seeking joy, being joy. Yeah.
All right, then. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff.
Yes.
What else?
Joy being a joy warrior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But joy, I guess, is different for everybody, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is.
So what are the elements of storytelling when it comes to sharing joy?
I think that our goal was to invite people into a space where joy could flow freely for mm-hmm. them, that we could create an environment to be safe in and invite them to feel what that might feel like and then face some fears and then teach them that fears on the other side of that is joy and that joy can be a choice and it can be something that you don't wait for to come to you, but that you can seek out.
Oh, it's so complicated. Why can't you tell everybody that? It's a choice. Is it wrong to say joy is a choice? Damn it.
No, yeah, it's not. We say that.
It seems so
angry.
You've
read our script, Patty.
I know, but I mean, I don't want to hit people over the head with it, but sometimes you got to do that, don't you, Anthony?
Yes, it's true.
How are people reacting to the Unicorn Hour?
In press and reviews, it's been great. Things like, you know, Sparkle and Pizzazz have been in our reviews, so that's good.
People are enjoying it too.
Yeah.
They are. Yeah. we need it from the people. The
yes. Yeah. Yeah. We've had
lovely.
Yeah. We've had audiences full of I want to say joy. I think that we propose that you can come and be given a sense of that. And our goal is that you leave the room, the joy womb that we have created for you, and you go out into the world and can be reminded that joy exists everywhere and that, yeah.
And I'm seeing the word politics of joy. So obviously when everyone, politics has become such a bizarre, politics and journalism are now these two nasty words in the world. But you throw politics of joy. Explain what that means, Anthony. Yeah, I was trying to throw you one, Anthony. I was like,
"Can we talk about the swear square?"
Yes, that's what you should say, yeah. Anthony.
What's a swear scare? Scare?
A swear square.
A square
is where the swears happen.
Okay,
it's within the space. It's a
in the Unicorn Hour.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. a designated spot. That
that's
happens.
Political as well.
Yeah.
So you're only allowed to swear. Allowed to swear when you're in the square.
Within the square.
Those are the agreements that we have within the show. Yes, that happens. Yes.
And how do people react to that? Are there people because it's weird when people come to a show and they ask for a rating. Is it going to be dirty or whatever it's going to be?
We've had, I will say this, we've had children in our show, and we just say that there is some concentrated swearing for a sustained amount of time. Mm-hmm. Similar to when we do the Infinite Wrench, we say, ooh, tonight there's some sustained nudity. So that is our warning. It's never, I will say our show is never, beyond the swear square itself, it's never dirty. It's never, never doesn't ever.
I mean,
get
the
to
words
you.
Are dirty. And it's hard to be like, oh, well, it's an unscripted moment, so you can't be like, this is what's gonna happen. So, but if you're okay with that conversation, like, because people be like, oh, can I bring my 8-year-old? I was like, I don't know, how much do you swear around the house? Like, how much do you want?
What shows do you watch with them?
Do you want to have that conversation later on with them? You know,
Esmeralda, don't you kind of feel like we need to have a portable swear square so we can swear?
Yeah, absolutely.
A friend of ours that came to the show, he had a little. When he came to work the next day, because he brought a lot of coworkers, made a little swear square on the floor.
Esmeralda, don't you think that's something we could use?
Does it have to be soundproof? Do people hear you?
I think you have to cover your head.
I want you to find your joy bliss.
When you're in it, then people know that then the swearing is going to happen.
So it's up to them to block it out.
Yeah.
You know?
So it takes the onus off of you that like you're free now because you've declared I am in the swear square.
Michael, I find the onus always needs to be off of me. I need to be onus free all the time.
Avoid the onus.
Avoid the onus. What else? Now, what's the other show that we have in studio with him?
So, The Infinite Wrench is the new neo-futurist late-night recurring show that we launched this year.
Okay.
After 28 years of performing 30 plays in 60 minutes and Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind, the neo-futurists have redefined themselves with a new recurring show of 2-minute plays that happens every Friday, Saturday night.
Okay.
And Sunday.
Excellent.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And how late is that show? What time is that?
Friday and Saturday, it's at 11:30 at night, and Sundays, it's at 7. It's a very familiar schedule for the people that have come to our space to enjoy time.
Above the funeral home? Is it still a funeral home downstairs?
No, we outlived.
You outlived the funeral home. Yes. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. It's a
clinical testing facility now, so it's just
That's right. People can drop off their hazardous materials and and then go see a show upstairs at the Neo Futurists.
Yes. And audiences of Chicago are very familiar with the kind of work that we do, and we encourage them to come back regardless of the name change.
Of course. And we have Lily, and who do we have?
I'm Ida.
Hi, Ida. How are you doing?
I snuck in.
I apologize that you're not on my list, and I have to write down your name. Ida and Lily, and the show that you're involved with is?
I'm an ensemble member at the Neo Futurists, and I am currently in the cast of The Infinite Wrench.
Ida is also helping curate the 30 queer plays in 60 straight minutes, our annual pride show of a barrage of 2-minute plays that benefits a LGBTQ cause every single year. We've been doing that for well over 2 decades, and Ida's helping curating that.
Okay, and this is part of the Steppenwolf Accessible and Pride Weekend performances as well.
Those are actually two separate events.
There are two separate events? Okay.
Yeah. In addition to being an ensemble member, I'm the access coordinator for the Neo Futurists. And so accessible programming has been a big, important part of our mission in the past few years. It's been a new initiative for us. And we're lucky enough to partner with Steppenwolf in their Lookout series to be presenting physically accessible performances on June 2nd and 3rd. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's a performance for a blind and low vision audience. Audiences on June 2nd and one for deaf and hard of hearing folks on June 3rd.
We're taking a break here. What's the website so people can look up all the information right now?
You can easily go to www.neofuturists.org
or
find us on social media. Facebook's a really good spot to go to.
More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me are the Neo Futurists with not one, not two, not three, but there are many shows running at the Neo Futurists venue. The venue, is the name of the venue Neo Futurists?
The name of our company is the Neo Futurists.
Okay.
And we've existed in Chicago since 1988.
But is there a name for the venue where you are located on Ashland?
The venue is called the Neo Futurarium.
The Neo Futurarium.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And it's on the second floor above a clinical testing facility.
Currently, it's above a clinical testing facility. Mm-hmm. Historically, it was above a funeral home.
It's been a while since I've had the opportunity to go over there, but I have to go see some of these shows. You have The Infinite Wrench, The Unicorn Hour, The Arrow, and Others. That's always intriguing to me when things are other. It's like TBD. I need to know what that is.
Yeah.
What are Others?
Others, actually, well, we just talked about the accessible performances that mm-hmm. we're teaming up with Steppenwolf, and those will actually be not at the Neo Futurarium itself, mm-hmm. but at Steppenwolf at the what's the name of their venue?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's at 1700 North Halsted. I think it's called their 1700 space. And there's a beautiful lobby called Front Bar. Everything is physically accessible. And it'll be two nights with menus with different shows geared towards the services that we're providing.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And at the Neo Futurarium all year, we have Infinite Wrench, which does perform every Friday and Saturday late at night mm-hmm. and Sundays at 7. And then we have a full primetime season of which the Unicorn Hour, which Leah and Anthony are creating. That's the current one right now.
And tell me, so is Infinite Wrench? What is the...
Infinite Wrench.
Wrench. I've heard it both ways.
Haven't we all?
Haven't we all? What is the Infinite Wrench? What's thematically... What do we expect at the Infinite Wrench?
So the Infinite Wrench is the way in which we create and perform a collage of 2-minute plays, we call them.
Okay.
Short works of experimental theater that that are in between the spectrum of comedy and tragedy and seriousness and absurd and experimental. These plays that the ensemble of the Neo-Futurists have created since 1988, of which we're about to create 10,000.
Wow.
Reach the 10,000th 2-minute play that we've created as an ensemble since the late 80s.
That's remarkable. And the great thing about shifting from comedy to tragedy, you know, that ability to sort of take people through so many different experiences, you know, right when someone like can't take something or it's too uncomfortable, there's like a release valve of changing gears and doing something entirely different, taking the audience someplace different.
That's the whole show. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even range from like comedy and tragedy. It's movement, it's non-movement, it's dialogue, it's monologue, it's all of that. So it runs all of that, which is exciting for an audience member, because if you don't like something, just literally wait a minute.
Exactly.
We'll have that. Something different for you. It's fine.
I love that idea. Ida, where are you from originally? You said you're from Chicago?
I'm from California.
Oh, from California. What brought you to Chicago?
Kind of this work.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Sketch, improv, comedy?
What? Or the Neo-Futurists.
Okay.
I studied theater in college, and then I came to Chicago and was doing some theater here, and then I found this company, and I volunteered with them for a little while and took classes, and I found that it was an aesthetic that I felt really inspired by, and I auditioned,
and here you are on the radio.
WGN.
That's right. Lily, how about yourself?
I'm originally from Boston, and I moved to Chicago because I was really excited about the comedy community, which I still am, but I think the Neo-Futurists provides a really exciting environment for an artist, because it's so experimental and it feels like anything can happen as an artist in the building. Like, there's a lot of freedom and a lot of autonomy, and we're a collective, so we work together really closely. So it's a really positive, strong, unique artistic home to be a part of from our side. And then the other thing about the Infinite Wrench and all the shows we do is we embrace this aesthetic of staying connected to the audience and acknowledging their presence in the room. So it's really this like ride we're on of going through each 2-minute play and having all this range of experience. We're really in it together with them, which is a really unique, it's totally unlike any other performance experience I've had. So that's why I'm excited to work there. And I just think that we form a relationship with our audiences that's a little different than anywhere else I've been.
Oh, I agree completely. Leah, how about yourself? Where are you from?
I'm from Omaha, Nebraska.
Hello.
Originally.
Yes. Yes. Boop, boop. Yes. But I've lived here for about 17 years now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you had to be a kid when you came here.
Well, you know.
All right, then.
Yes.
A child.
One might say.
No. Were you in your bassinet when they brought you over?
I was. I was floated down the river. And here I am.
You and Moses.
WGN Radio. No, I moved here for a college and went to school here. And then one of my teachers in college, who was actually the director of the Unicorn Hour, Adrian Danzig, was one that introduced me to theater that wasn't
audience sit there, we sit here, we put down a curtain, we put up a curtain, because that's not where I felt I could exist in. And so I got interested in this physical theater clown world, and I've been kind of following that for a while. And the Neo-Futurists actually have a, because the work that we do there is non-illusory and truthful, and you come as you are, and you be who you are, and you tell your stories in any manner that you need to tell that story. And so that fits into all of that. And it's wonderful here.
I think it's a great way to describe it, this sort of circus world, because that is the element of it is, yes, it's for you, but it's also with you, mm-hmm. I think is mm-hmm. the idea behind
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And I love that. That's why I became a stand-up comic. I can never, I mean, obviously there's a moment where, you know, comics don't want that much feedback because people feel like there's a freedom to just yell at comics, but there, but it has to be a comfortable space for both. And that's why I love the idea that you were talking about with the Unicorn Hour is the idea of joy. This is what joy is supposed to be. And if you're going to disrupt that, it's going to be uncomfortable for everybody.
Yeah, and we'll tell you that too. Not in so much of a, but because there's no, because the space literally our theater is not big enough to have a fourth wall. We're literally on top of each other, so we're there. We can see you. We can see
that's
you texting.
Every comic's joke is always, "This is the television. You can't change a channel. This is what's happening. It's not gonna get any different." Yeah. Anthony, where are you from?
I grew up in Washington State.
Okay, what brought you to Chicago?
I went to theater school out in Northern California, and I made an agreement with a classmate that we would move to whatever city whoever had a better job.
Oh, and what job did they get?
He was a blue man here. So it was a
that's
much
spectacular.
Yeah, I was winning working at the school for a hot second, and then he got cast. So then I came out here in 99.
Wow. Yeah. And you've been here ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been with the Neo-Futurists?
I did my first show for the Neos, I think in 2005, is that when the first Daredevils 4?
Oh, Daredevil, right, yeah.
Yeah. That's
2005, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the first primetime show that I did with them.
Wow, that's a haul. And Kurt, how about yourself? Where are you from?
I'm originally from Maryland, Silver Spring, Maryland, which is just outside of Washington, D.C. I've been here in Chicago since 2005 and with the Neo-Futurists since 2008.
And so, what brought you to Chicago?
The Neo-Futurists.
Really?
Yeah. Again, like a theater that existed here that was that had writer performers making their own work.
Uh-huh.
One of the very few, I think, in the country, and was attracted to the work and came and got lucky enough to get involved.
That's great. I'm so glad to have learned some of the story of the people behind all the productions, the great shows at the Neo-Futurist. You can go to neofuturist.org. Go to the Neo-Futurarium.
Neo-Futurarium.
Futurarium. Yeah. See, so can't say it.
It can also
Neo-Futurarium.
Be the Neo-Futurist Theater.
Neo-Futurarium. Nope, I'm going to get it. Neo-Futurarium.
Yeah.
And that's over, it's at Ashland and what's the cross street there?
Foster.
Ashland and Foster. It's a great theater. It's and as you can tell from the passion that our guests have for their theater company, this is something that people come from all over the country, if not all over the world, to experience. There's nothing else like the Neo-Futurists, and we're so glad to have met you and had you in studio tonight. Wish you all the best. Look forward to having you again.
Thank you.
And again, don't forget their shows are The Infinite Wrench, The Unicorn Hour, and what was the other one? The Arrow Takes a Leap?
Starting in May, every Sunday at 3:00.
Excellent. Well, good luck, you guys. Have a great time, and we will talk to you again soon. More after this. Dr. Dingman is up next, by the way, if you want to learn about your future, possibly a past life. He is our iTunes psychic. More after this on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 to touch base with Dr. Dingman. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Esmeralda, how are you doing in your new apartment? Your first two nights now in your new place?
Yeah, it's good.
Is it weird though? Like, do you hear different things? Like, is it easy for you to just fall asleep?
No, it's easy for me. We're learning things about
the, you know, around us. And there's, so the apartment I lived in before, ups, I was on the first floor, and upstairs there was a couple that had two dogs. One was, I believe, a pit bull.
Oh, dear.
And I don't know what the other one was, but it was like a medium-sized dog. And it sounded sometimes just like wild horses.
Oh, yeah.
Running back and forth in the apartment. Oh, God. Down the stairs. And now, I don't think it's a dog. I don't know where it is,
mm-hmm.
but there's a hound dog that we've been hearing.
No.
And all we hear is this.
Howling.
Like every, yeah, like every, not even a minute, like every 30, not 30 seconds, every minute.
Oh, no.
Oh,
oh no. Ez.
We heard him in the day. We're like, what's going on?
Well, that's the thing about being a day sleeper is that, yeah, my neighbor, I had a neighbor who had a hound, because hounds, they howl.
Yeah.
And
it's a real somber howl.
Oh, it's a real somber howl. Oh, speaking of somber. Oh, this must mean that Dr. Dingman joins us on the line. Dr. Dingman, how are you doing this evening?
Yeah, good evening, Patty. How are you?
I'm very well. Where are you in the world tonight, just out of curiosity? Because I know you're often traveling.
Yeah, I'm actually in New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm here delivering the keynote speech at a janitorial services convention here in the Crescent City.
Do you find that with those involved with the janitorial services that they, I'm guessing they listen to music while they're working. So that must be a really fascinating area and group to talk to.
Yes. It's some of the people that are the salespeople that sell the products and the supplies. There's a guy I met today from Charleston, South Carolina, who sells the urine pads that prevent splash-up. Now, as a female, I don't expect you have any experience with this, but in a male urinal, if you urinate into the urinal, sometimes it'll splash up on your nice pants. But this guy has developed, it's like a pad with filaments on it that stops the splashback. He's a millionaire.
Wait. Michael, is this something you're familiar with, that where you get backsplash?
There's a little bit of backsplash that happens every once in a while.
What?
I mean, you try to avoid it at all costs, of course.
Oh, my God.
Right. This guy supposedly he's invented a new thing, and it's like a pad, but it's got a bunch of fingers on it. Like, it's almost like, toothpicks of plastic sticking up, and it evidently stops the splashing from back. And he's driving a Bugatti, and he's ostentatiously wealthy, and was selling his products all over the Southeast.
It's so weird. I actually met the person that invented the, I'm sure you, in your many travels, Dr. Dingman, have flown through O'Hare Airport, that plastic cover that when you, like, you wave your hand over it, and a sheet of plastic covers the toilet seat. Like a little shower cap for the toilet seat. I met the guy who invented that. And I...
Yes, he's here.
Oh, is
he's here too.
Yeah, it's a fascinating industry. It's the kind of thing, like, you would almost imagine that there are so many more things left to invent when it comes to being in the restroom. So many different things that we could still use.
Who knew that we needed a non-splash urinal pad, but got the world has changed now. Now you can walk freely through an airport or restaurant without fear of urine reprisal.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, and this seems like a lofty thing to aspire to. That's life changing, I would think, for men who are using public restrooms. But that's not why we're talking to you tonight. I want to invite our guests. I know that we had some very serious moments last week, and I thank our listeners who joined our conversation, and I thank you, Dr. Dingman, for handling it so gracefully and trying to offer some solace to people who are struggling a little bit. For those who are looking for some insight into your future, into what's going on in your life, Dr. Dingman is an iTunes psychic. He is the iTunes psychic. He can read from the vibrations in your world as far as, like, in relation to the last three songs you heard. Now, that doesn't define who you are. It's just what he's picking up and what's going on in your life momentarily. Is that a good way to explain it, Doctor?
Yes, it's an excellent way, Patty. The universe is sensate and awake and is constantly sending us information on how to live our lives and avoid bad things and embrace good things. And one way I've learned to discern the universe's guidance is through songs that you randomly hear. That's the way the universe reaches out and speaks to people.
Well, I think it's a fascinating talent that you have, and I want to invite our listeners. We have to go to break to the news in just a few moments, but we invite you to join us at 312-981-7200. And I know that this is kind of intimidating for some folks. They might be a little nervous about having their future or their present or their past lives read. So we do offer a gift card from Apt Electronics, because you can, you know, maybe invest in a new pair of headphones or something to your auditory world in order to connect more with those vibrations that Dr. Dingman is talking about. Dr. Dingman, would you mind hanging on the line through the news as we wait for phone calls? I believe that some people are already dialing in right now, waiting to experience your masterful skills.
Sure, that would be fantastic. I think the app people, that's a perfect sponsor for this segment, because as you know, all the world is vibration, and that's what electricity is, essentially, the vibration of energy.
Exactly.
So, well done. Tell the boys in sales they did a damn fine job there.
I will let them know. 312-981-7200. We will take, whoever calls, we will randomly pick one of our listeners who calls in and has a reading from Dr. Dingman. We will give you an Apt Electronics gift card to one of the callers that joins us at 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I was trying to get to Dr. Dingman quickly because I have two listeners on the line. I want to make sure that we get to their calls. Dr. Dingman, we have two listeners waiting for your mastery of reading into their lives, their future, their past. And how are you? By the way, Dr. Dingman, is there anything you do to center yourself before you embark on this?
I'm usually in a quiet place unless I'm on stage doing a show. Right now, I'm lying in repose in my hotel room and trying to focus. Typically, when I'm this far from the people that I'm reading, I have to kind of tune in to their vibration, and I pick that up through the phone. But I just close my eyes, and I videos and pictures pop into my head when I hear the song titles. It's kind of it's like having HBO in your room and not paying for it.
Well, let's embark on this adventure then with Anne. Hi, Anne. Where are you calling from?
Chicago.
What did you want to ask Dr. Dingman? And what were your songs, actually?
My songs are... Cool. You want the songs, right?
Correct.
Yes.
I'm Coming Out. It's an old Diana Ross song. Never in My Wildest Dreams. It's a Tina Turner. Mm. And that basketball song I just love from the NCAA, One Shining Moment by Luther, the late Luther Vandross.
Nice.
Okay, so we have One Shining Moment, I'm Coming Out, and what was the third one?
Never in My Wildest Dreams.
Okay. Never in My Wildest Dreams, I'm Coming Out. Moment. I'm seeing that there's a big change in your life coming. Are you in a relationship?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm seeing that I'm picturing not a closet, but a solo room, right? And like Liza Minnelli, you're kicking the door open and ta-da, announcing that you're back. In the past, you've had a relationship that was very near and dear to your heart, and it fell apart due to, was it infidelity or money and infidelity?
Money infidelity, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and it really hurt your heart and upset you, and you've been single for a while because of that. And I feel that you are healed now, and this is your coming out party. This is, you are ready to... You're ready to be with someone again and have a relationship again. And it's like Liza Minnelli or Richard Simmons bursting onto a stage and saying, ta-da, I'm back.
Oh, wow.
Do you have an event? Is there a reunion or some sort of a barbecue or some sort of big event within the next
Later
2 months
summer.
That you're planning to attend?
Later this summer.
Yeah, what is it? Is it a reunion of some kind?
It's a reunion later this summer.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing bees buzzing around the hive, and you are like the queen bee, and everyone is very happy to see you, and you're you're feeling attractive and pretty and in control and happy. And this is like catnip for horny cats. I feel that you will meet someone at this reunion, not a family member, of course, that would be, you know, horrible, but a person that you are not blood related to, and it will extend your coming out party. That's what I'm seeing, that this is a good time for you.
All righty. Thank you so much.
And
you're welcome. Have
fun. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dr. Damon.
I was going to say, have fun at the reunion. And do you ever get images of a past life?
No, I don't. I don't have any. I have not had any images of past life.
I'm seeing that you were a you worked in an ice cream store during World War II.
Wow!
It looks like Kansas or somewhere in the Great Plains. Something happened and you got sick and you were ill and the ice cream actually cured you. Do you have a particular fondness for a chocolate or a fudge ice cream in this life currently?
Vanilla beans is my favorite. I don't know.
It is your favorite? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, vanilla beans. So
Oftentimes, things that affect you in a past life carry over into your next life. And I think this this flavor of ice cream is something that saves you physically from some sort of illness, horrible illness in a past life. I'm seeing 1943. And to this day, and you lived a long life, you actually... You lived a long time after this initial sickness, and now even this lifetime, the ice cream. When you have ice cream, most people it makes them fat and stupid, but it makes you healthy for some reason.
Oh wow!
I love that idea.
Yeah, right.
Well, now I want some ice cream. How about you? How about you, Ann?
I do. Now I want another one. I don't have a drop in the house.
Oh man. Isn't it always like that? Right when you need it the most, you can't get it.
Right.
Well, Ann, hold on the line, and we're going to... By the way, Ann, would you be interested in coming to see my show at Zany's on Wells on May 15th? I have a funny female show. Love to have you in the audience.
Oh, I would love to come.
Oh, wonderful. Excellent. Hold on the line, and I'm going to give this to both you and Lisa, and we'll figure out which one of you gets the apt card. Just a moment. Stand by, and Michael will get your information. And love to see you on May 15th at Zany's on Wells. Everyone go to zanys.com for more information about that show. We also have Lisa joining us, Dr. Dingman. Lisa, what are your three songs? Hello.
How are you this evening?
We're very well. How about yourself?
Very well.
What are your three songs that you would like to share with Dr. Dingman?
I Won't Do That by Meatloaf. Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler, and Xanadu by Olivia Newton-John.
Oh,
wow.
You share my, I feel like you have my song list.
Those are great songs.
I'm sorry. Yeah, they are. Go ahead, Dr. Dingman. Sorry.
You have an 8-track player in your Vega? Where were you hearing these songs?
I love that.
I love a good. I'm surprised the Pina Colada song wasn't in there. Tell me the songs again. Now I was making jokes and I've forgotten all three.
Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler. I Won't Do That by Meatloaf and Xanadu by Olivia Newton-John.
Right. Okay. You are single, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm seeing the Total Eclipse of the Heart and Xanadu. Xanadu especially is a fantasy. It doesn't really exist. It's an idea like Nirvana or comfortable pumps for women to wear. It's an idea that hasn't fully been realized in the real world. And I see that you are envisioning yourself to be somewhat of a princess. I see that you work behind a desk.
No, I'm a CNA. I work in a nursing home.
Oh, okay. All right. Certified nurse?
Yes.
Okay. So you're not behind a desk. That's good, because the desk would be like an anvil around your neck, and that would be the eclipse of the heart. That would give you a heart attack and be heavy on your heart. So it's good that you are up and you are helping other people. I see that you have a very large giving nature, large heart, and you enjoy helping people. And you're feeling right now as if all the love is going one way. It's going from you to other people, and you don't feel that you're getting the love back that you deserve. Is that true?
I do believe you have me pegged.
Yeah.
This is true.
I feel that you have this amazing capacity to be loving and caring. And the people that you have been with romantically, especially in the last 6 to 8 I'm seeing months, but it could be, actually, it might be years, have not appreciated you. Pearls before swine is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing pigs, in pearls. Is that a fair assessment, would you say?
Well, that's very fair.
Yeah. So what you need to do is you're attracting the wrong type of person. So you need to change your vibration. And there is one way, vibration, I don't know if you've heard me on the program before, but the entire universe is made up only of vibration. We experience with our 5 senses mass and light and weight and heat and all those things. But those are just shadows of the real reality, which is vibration. Dr. Michio Kaiku developed a physics theory called string theory. Have you ever heard of this?
Vaguely.
Yeah, I don't pretend to understand it myself. It's very complex, but what it boils down to is that the whole world is vibration, and that's what music is. It's sound waves, which are vibration. And right now, your vibration is out of sync with your true nature. So you need to raise the frequency of your vibration, and we can do that right here and right now on the radio by having, I would like to hear you sing.
You want to hear me sing?
Yeah, I would like to.
What would you like me to sing?
I would like you to sing the total eclipse of the heart refrain, not a verse, but the refrain. And when you sing, do not sing from your throat. I want you to sing from your solar plexus, from your diaphragm, and really push the air through your body, because this will make your entire body a vibrating tuning fork, if you will, and it will change the vibration in your body. You'll do it tonight, and I want you to do it every day for 2 weeks, and you will find that your love, it's like an antenna. Right now, you're broadcasting on a frequency that no suitable people are listening on, but when you raise your vibration, your love and the radiation, the radiating of the love from you, we'll reach the right person, and it will help you. I'm seeing 7. I'm seeing that if you do this, you'll meet someone within 7 weeks. And he drives a green car and has black glasses. And I think his name is Richard or Rich, but you will not meet him unless we change your vibration and increase the frequency. So let me hear you try it once, and then we'll decide amongst us how well you did, okay?
You can do this, Lisa. You got this. Take a deep breath.
I don't know what to do. I'm always in the dark. We're living in a powder cake and giving out sparks. I really need you tonight. Forever's going to start tonight. Forever's going to start tonight. There's nothing I can say. I was always in the dark. Forever's gonna start tonight. Yep, that's that one. That's the one.
It is the one. But it sounds like you're singing it in church. I Ooh. Need more passion and more guttural energy from you.
From deep down, Lisa, from that place, it's scary.
I don't know what to do. I'm always in the dark. We're living in a powder keg and giving off sparks. I really need you tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight.
Yeah!
Much better.
Lisa.
That was fantastic. Do you feel different?
Somewhat, yes.
Yeah, I feel different.
That was great.
I feel a little freer, a little less, you might say, empty.
Oh.
Yes. And what this does, Lisa, if you do this every day, okay, religiously, and get more and more guttural and passionate every time you do it religiously every day for at least 2 weeks, that's, you're calling it feeling freer. What you're doing is you're opening yourself up to the universe by changing your vibration, raising your vibration, and you're more in touch with the world as you should be. Right now, it's like you're wearing, you know how in Chicago it's very cold during the winter?
No, not at all.
Oh, we're yeah. Not... Oh, yes, I know that very well.
Is it cold here now?
Chilly.
It's weird.
What? Yeah.
Yeah, you got to wear.
I don't think it's warmed up yet.
No, it has not.
No. But what you do, you have to wear a shirt and a sweater and a coat and another coat and a hat and gloves. And you walk outside and you don't feel the warmth of the sun. Of course, the sun is still there, but you don't feel it. And then as it gets warmer and you're peeling off layers of clothes, think of the difference in feeling to your body when you're
walking. It's almost like a chrysalis opening up.
Exactly. It's like you're walking down Michigan Avenue in a bikini compared to walking it in a parka. You're still walking down the same street, but it feels different. You're more in touch with what is around you, and that is your natural state. And right now, you're wearing 12 coats.
Stop wearing those 12 coats. Dr. Dingman, this has been remarkable. Thank you so much for helping our listeners out. We have to run for a break. Let's say goodbye to you in just a moment. Lisa, hold on the line. We have some things for you. I'm going to figure it all out during the break. I'm going to pick a number. We'll figure it out. We'll straighten out for prizes. More to this on 720 WGN.